If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 9 again this week. Today we're kind of picking up where we were last week, where we kind of left off in our series here through Acts, titled The Force Awakens. And if you were here last week, you know that we finally got to the story in Acts where we walked through Saul's conversion, where Saul, this man who we had seen early on, had been hunting down Christians, right? This man who had been the greatest enemy to the church at this time. He was one of the greatest enemies to the early church. He has this encounter, and that's what we saw last week, this encounter with Jesus, and he becomes now one of the church's greatest advocates. And it's kind of through this time now, as we're walking through, that we're seeing this transition from Saul, the persecutor of Christians, right, to this man who becomes Paul, the apostle of Christ. And so last week we read Acts 9, verses 1 through 22, and we're going to kind of overlap a little bit this morning as we're going to read verses 20 through 31. And so we're picking up here after Saul has had this conversion, after he gets his sight back and he's given his life to the Lord. And so here is where we pick up now in Acts chapter 9, verse 20. It says this: "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and he debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." One of the things that we see as we look at this conversion that happened in Saul's life is that his life changed dramatically, right? His life was changed in this huge way. Who he was before and who he became after accepting Christ were two totally different people, right? Through these scriptures we just read, we see this tremendous amount of growth that happens in Saul's life. And the main truth that I want to focus on this morning is this, that God desires for all of us to continue to grow in Him. God's desire is that all of us would continue to grow in Him. And so, because of that, this morning I want to look at Saul. I want to look at him in these scriptures. And I want to talk about four characteristics of someone that's growing spiritually. These are things that we see in Paul, that we see happening in his life. And there are things that God wants to see in us, that He desires from us. And so we're going to talk about those this morning. The first is this. A growing believer always seeks to know Jesus more. To know Him more. In verse 20, it tells us that Saul immediately began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, he was only able to do this after a personal encounter with Jesus, right? Where he came to know Him. Who are you? Jesus, like, I'm the one you're persecuting. It's me, Jesus, right? But Saul's knowledge of Christ was not limited to his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. The growth that we see in Paul had to come from more than just that one encounter. He couldn't know God the way that he knew Him. He couldn't understand God the way that he understood Him from that one encounter. Verse 23 starts off by saying, after many days had gone by. Now, several Bible scholars believe that this phrase, many days, could have been up to a span of as much as 3 years. Okay? You know, when we just read that, we're like, oh yeah, many days, you know, we think like, you know, what, 5, 7, 14, 28? You know, what do we, you know? But some believe that there could have been up to 3 years. And so the question is, what was he doing during that time? What was Saul doing in those 3 years? Now, we don't know for sure. There is so much of the Bible that you know, we just get pieces of it, right? And we don't know for sure. I can't guarantee you exactly this is what he was doing. But my guess is that he was doing all that he could to learn more about Jesus. This person that he had been persecuting. This person that then knocked him, you know, off of his donkey and on the ground. And he's sitting there like, what in the world is going on? And he's been told, you're wrong, right? That my guess is he's wanting to learn more about Jesus. And I'm guessing that he was asking questions and spending as much time as he could in the presence of the Lord to get to know Him more. You see, as Saul came to know the truth, he sought to grow in the truth. And that should be our desire as well. He knew that there was so much more to this new faith than just accepting Jesus as our Savior. Saul was ready to go all in. And I think that's God's desire for any of us who seek to follow Him, that we would be ready to go in, all in. Saul knew the importance of growing spiritually. And because of that, we see amazing growth in his life. And one of the reasons I believe he grew so quickly is because of his prayer life. Because of his desire to seek God and to know Him more. As I've mentioned before, Saul later becomes known as Paul. In chapter 13, it just kind of changes. Instead of referencing him as Saul, it begins to reference him as Paul. And many of you know that he is credited with writing close to half of the New Testament. Some people think it could be half or more, but at least close to half of the New Testament. And as you read through these books that he wrote, as you read through these letters, you will see that one of the things he talks about a lot is prayer. Right? Pray without ceasing. He talks about prayer. And he talks about growing in the Lord and knowing God. Paul wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to be close to Him. In Philippians 3:10, he says this, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And here's the thing about that scripture in Philippians 3:10. He didn't write those words in Philippians when he first became a Christian. When he wrote Philippians, he had been serving Jesus for many years. He was a veteran, right, in the Christian ways. But he still desired to know Christ more. He still desired to grow in his knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was. You see, if we ever get to a place where we don't think we need to grow anymore in the Lord, then guess what? We probably won't. We probably won't grow anymore. And that's not God's desire for our lives. There is always room for us to grow. You see, we serve an infinite God. Infinite, right? A never-ending God. He never ends. He's forever, right? Which means we will never come to that place in our lives where we know all that there is to know about God. He's too big for us to know all that there is. And so we can't stop seeking the Lord. We can't stop seeking to know Him more. The Christian life is a continual process of growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, which leads to the second characteristic of someone who is growing spiritually, which is this: a growing believer embraces the growth process. In verse 22 it says, "Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ." Now, one of the reasons I believe Saul was able to baffle these Jews in Damascus was because of his religious upbringing, his religious background. You see, all the training that Saul had received under Gamaliel and all the training he received as a Pharisee was part of this process that God was allowing him to go through to become the person that God made him to be. His understanding of God's Word, right? Because he knew the Scriptures, right? We talked about this last week. He was religious. He knew the religious ways. His understanding of the Scriptures, then coupled now with the Holy Spirit, brought this amazing knowledge to life. So Saul was able to share passionately and knowledgeably about God's plan of grace and forgiveness through the Messiah. He realized this is who he's been talking about, the Messiah. And he knew all this because of this process. God had been preparing him for this time in his life. And Saul was embracing what God was doing in and through him, and the challenges that began to come as he began to serve the Lord. You see, the fact is all of us are different, right? None of us are the same. We all come from different backgrounds. We all face different challenges. But God knows this. He's not dumb. He's not like, oh yeah, I forgot that was what happened in your life, right? God knows all this. He understands this, and He uses our past, He uses our present, and He is even going to use our future in this process to cause growth in our lives. The things that we go through, He uses them. We may not understand the challenges that we've gone through in life, or the challenges that maybe some of us are going through right now. We may feel like we're in over our head at times. And that's okay. Because you know what? I believe that that's right where God wants us. None of us like to be in over our head. We went rafting this weekend, right? And we had there was eight or nine families that were a part of this rafting trip. We had four boats, and we had two of the moms went out of the boat and talked about the fear, man, underneath the water, trying to come up and trying to get up and out and get to safety, you know. None of us like that feeling, all right, of being in over our head. But that's sometimes where God wants us, because it forces us to rely on Him. Those women, they had to rely on the safety vest, right? Because if it weren't for that safety vest, it brought them up to the surface, right? But the Lord, it forces us to rely on Him. And as we embrace the Lord in the midst of these challenges, and as we embrace the growth process, guess what? I can stand up here right now and I can guarantee you That if you embrace these things, when you look back at these moments and times, we'll see that these are some of the greatest times of growth that we've ever experienced in our lives. I know some of those most difficult times in my life, I look back and I see, man, those are the times where I grew the most. Later on in Acts, we'll see all the challenges that Paul ended up facing as a believer in Christ. But here's the thing, each of those challenges made him stronger. It prepared him for what God had next for him. And the more we embrace the growth process, the more we will grow. We have to embrace the process. The next characteristic of someone who is growing spiritually is this. A growing believer learns how to deal with conflict. A growing believer learns and does deal with conflict. In our text this morning, there were at least three occasions in these scriptures where Saul dealt with opposition from other people. Right? In verse 23, it talks about the Jews in Damascus that were trying to kill him. All right, that's some conflict, right? In verse 26, he faced rejection from believers. Right? Why? Because they were afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was really converted. And so he faced this rejection from them. And in verse 29, the Grecian Jews, they then tried to kill him. And so he's got Jews that want to kill him, believers who are afraid of him and don't trust him. Obviously, Paul was dealing with some conflict at this time in his life. And even though we may never experience the same kind of intense hatred or fearful rejection, you know, where people are trying to hunt us down and kill us, right? The fact is, we all deal with conflict. We all deal with opposition at times in our lives. And when those times occur, the question is, how do we respond? How do we respond when those things come? Now, the most common reaction is for us to take offense, right? For us to become angry and feel hostile towards those people that have wronged us or in the midst of that conflict. And when that happens, you know what happens, man? When we go through that, when we look at them through this tainted lens now, then everything they do begins to bother us. Have you ever had that? People have offended you, and then every time you see them and everything they do, right, it seems to bother you, it seems to annoy you. Or you see them and you try to do your best to avoid them in the grocery store, whatever it may be. And here's the thing. As believers desiring to grow in the Lord, we have to learn how to respond differently. To not take offense, to not allow these things to bring us down and to keep us from growing. And so how do we respond? What if this offense or conflict that we're dealing with is from a fellow believer? That we saw that with Paul. Well, I want to share a scripture with you this morning. Jesus gives us some guidance on this in Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, 15 through 17, this is what it says. It says, if your brother or sister sins, and now in other translations it says, sins against you. All right, if your brother or sister sins against you, it says, then go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And I love that there, tax collector. Man, you can tell it. They were the scum of the earth in this time, apparently, right? Aren't you glad you're not a tax collector? So here, if our conflict is with another believer, according to this scripture, we need to do our best to go to them in private, not to gossip to our friends. Like, oh, can you believe they did this to me? Can you believe this? No, you need to go in private and try to work it out. to talk about, to share with them, hey, this hurt me. And to do your best to resolve the conflict. Now, if that doesn't work, then we're told here that to take someone with you, to go with a fellow believer and talk with them, bringing it to them in a loving way, okay? It's not this team-up thing. Yeah, come two people coming together to put you in your place. No, we always, in this, we always have to walk in grace and love, right? And then if that doesn't work, it tells us that we're supposed to go to the church. And you know, that would be pastoral leadership. That if there are people amongst you, if there are issues going on in the church, then at that point you come to the leadership and we talk about this, and we try to work it out. And if that still doesn't work, then the reality is we move on. We have to separate ourselves from them. But here's the thing. Hopefully it never gets to that situation. It never gets to that place. But even if it does, even if it comes to this, we must not let this become a personal offense or grievance that we carry around with us. We got to let them go. And even though they may be wrong, even though they've the one that have messed and hurt us in this, we have to refrain from speaking badly about them or engaging in gossip about them. We have to be willing to let it go. And this is so important. It is, because one of the things that can stunt our growth more than anything as believers is unforgiveness in our heart. When we have unforgiveness, it can stunt our growth as believers. You know, we're told that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And I think true growth happens when we learn to extend that same grace to others. In the midst of their failure, though it couldn't be worked out, we in grace, we forgive them and move on. And it's important because of Matthew 6:15, which tells us this: if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. It's a tough one. And it's hard, but we have to learn to let things go. The key to dealing with conflict in our lives is understanding God's grace and forgiveness in our lives and being willing to extend that to others. Now what if the conflict or opposition comes from someone that's not a believer? Well, I believe, like with believers, I think we first have to go and talk to them. We have to do our best to try to resolve that situation. But if that doesn't work, then my suggestion is Matthew 5:44. This is what Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:44. He says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So my encouragement in this is love them and pray for them. And if that doesn't work, love them and pray for them some more, right? And if that doesn't work, continue to love and pray for them some more. And again, just like we talked about the believer that won't resolve the issue, bottom line is we have to learn how to forgive. Now listen to me closely here, because it doesn't mean that what they did to us was okay. We're not saying that. It just means that we're going to seek the Lord's strength to let go of whatever it is that has hurt us or wronged us, and to move on. And the reason is so that it doesn't keep us from growing. Because the reality is unforgiveness in our own hearts, even though it had nothing to do with us to begin with, it can keep us from growing in the Lord. And I know this subject of forgiveness is a challenging thing, especially in the world we live in. But we can't let the conflict or opposition become an offense that spreads throughout our life, because it will. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. It will just spread through our lives and into the lives of those around us. And we can't let conflict and opposition do that. We have to learn to deal with the conflict so that we can continue to grow and can continue to take those steps closer and closer to the Lord as we grow in Him. Finally, in addition to knowing Jesus and growing in Him, and in addition to embracing the growth process, And in addition to learning how to deal with conflict, my final point is this. A growing believer learns to lean on fellow believers. A growing believer learns to lean on fellow believers. As a Pharisee, Saul was a bit of a rogue, right? He would go out on his own. He was the one driving this hunt for Christians. Even though Gamaliel, his teacher, right, his teacher that taught him and trained him up as a religious leader, even though Gamaliel said, "Leave the Christians alone." Gamaliel said, he said, "If they're not of God, it's going to crumble. And if it is, you don't want to fight against it," right? And Saul learned that, right? But even though he said these things, Saul was determined to go and do away with these Christians. He was a rogue. He went out on his own. But now we see a different man here in Paul, or Saul. He hadn't quite become Paul yet. Rather than acting on his own, we see him accepting help from other believers during difficult times. When the Jews in Damascus tried to kill him, his Christian friends helped him. Verse 25 says, "His followers took him by night, lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall." His friends came around him and supported him to help save his life. And when the Christians in Jerusalem rejected him out of fear, when his fellow believers were afraid of him, his Christian brother Barnabas spoke up for him, came alongside him as a brother in Christ and encouraged them to know who Paul or Saul was. And verse 27, it tells us this, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus." He was a brother that came alongside him in a difficult time. And then when the Grecian Jews tried to kill Paul, the other apostles stepped in. In verse 30 it says, when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Again, they came around him and helped him and supported him. I think a lot of times, when we think of Paul in the Bible, when we view him throughout the Scriptures, that we see this very independent leader who didn't need anybody but him and the Holy Spirit, right? But when you look closer at his ministry, we see that Jesus used many fellow believers in his life to minister to him and to give him wise counsel and encouragement on this journey of life. All throughout his letters, throughout his books, he talks of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have partnered with him in the faith. Now, I know Paul, like any great spiritual leader, he would filter that counsel that he received, you know, through the Holy Spirit, which all of us should do. You know, people will tell us what we need to do in life, right? And that's great. We want counsel, wise advice, but we have to hear the Lord for ourselves and filter that through those things. And so Paul would do that. But Paul understood that God often uses other people to encourage us and to come alongside us and to touch our lives when we need those moments and those touches from the Lord. Those times when Paul was in prison, he talks about the churches and the leaders that were an encouragement to him, that helped him continue to press on and continue to move forward. God created us for relationship, to encourage one another, to help one another. God doesn't call us into his kingdom to be lone rangers. He doesn't. He calls us to partner together, to be that iron that sharpens iron. You've heard me talk about that before, where we encourage one another, where we sharpen one another. This is why we encourage you to develop relationships with one another outside of Sunday mornings. We love the relationship that happens here. That's why we do those meet and greets where we have extended time, because we love the connection and relationship. But we want you to develop those outside of Sunday mornings. It's why we encourage you to join, you know, the women's groups that go on, or the men's groups that go on. And for some of you, maybe it's like, man, big groups, they scare me. Well, then what we do is that we encourage you to just meet with one or two people over coffee, to connect with people one-on-one, so that we can grow in the Lord with one another. This thing called life that we walk through every day, it's tough. It's challenging. We live in a fallen, broken world. Growing in the Lord, it's tough. But it's much easier when we have others alongside us in the process to help us, to encourage us. It's easier when we have fellow believers who are there to be with us when we just need to cry, right? Because that's all right too. Paul tells us in Romans 12:15, we need to rejoice with those who rejoice, right? We come alongside, we lift each other up. Yeah, good times. We also mourn with those who mourn. We come alongside one another and encourage each other when we just need that shoulder to cry on. We need one another to grow in the Lord. Let me close with a few questions this morning. Let me ask you these things. Number one, are we still growing in Christ? Are we still seeking to know Jesus more? Have we embraced the growth process, or are we staying in our comfort zone? I like my comfort, right? Are we embracing the growth process? Are we dealing with conflict in our lives? Are we learning to forgive and release our offenses to God? How are our relationship with others? Do we seek out those close friends with other Christians who we can trust and encourage each other? Are we learning to rely on other believers for prayer? For support, for encouragement, or for godly counsel? You see, if we can say yes to these questions, then we're doing awesome. And I'm guessing that if you said yes to these questions, then you're growing in the Lord, and that's God's desire for your life. But if some of these answers are no, then it means that maybe there is still some work that God wants to do in us. There is perhaps some growing that He wants to see take place in our lives, in our life. But we have to be willing to see that growth take place. We have to be willing to let Him do what He wants to do. I know that today we talked about some pretty challenging things. Things like forgiveness. Because some of these things, learning how to release them, learning how to forgive others, it doesn't just happen overnight. Oftentimes, it's a process. Getting out of sin, even, it's a process of letting God work in those areas of our life. Letting God show us those areas where He wants us to grow. And then being willing to release them and say, okay, God, I know I need to grow in this area. I know I'm falling short here, and I give these things to You. And so this is my encouragement to you. It's baby steps. Baby steps. Now most of you have heard my theology before, okay? It's my What About Bob theology. If you haven't seen the movie What About Bob, I don't know if it's a good movie or not. I'm sure that there's some bad language or something in it. But it's a funny movie. If you haven't seen What About Bob, it's about this obsessively compulsive narcissist, okay? And he goes to this psychotherapist, And in that first meeting, this psychotherapist just encourages him to break everything down into baby steps. He gave him this book that he wrote called Baby Steps, right? And in that book, he just says, hey, here's the thing. Don't think about how you're going to get all the way home. Start with how you're going to get from where you are right now to the hallway. And then from the hallway to the elevator, you know? Baby steps to the elevator, right? And then once you're in the elevator down, baby steps to the exit, right? Baby steps to the bus stop, you know, to break it down. And so it's just this funny idea and this funny story, but I really think it's a great theology. Now, I know that all of us would love exponential growth, right? That growth that it's just like, boom, 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 boom. It's just happening and it's awesome, right? Many of you, if you have teenagers, you see, you know, your young kids starting to hit that exponential growth, right? One minute they're like this high, the next minute they're like this tall, right? And so we all love exponential growth. And as much as we would love to see that kind of growth in our lives, the reality is not everybody grows that way. And it doesn't always happen that way. And any growth is a positive thing. And that's what we have to understand. Any growth is a positive thing, even if it's baby steps, right? Even if it's just a little bit at a time, because enough baby steps, if you put enough of those baby steps together, they equal a big step, right? And the more baby steps that we can take each day, the closer we get to the Lord, and the more and more we grow in Him. Baby steps are better than no steps at all. And so my encouragement as we get ready to head out of here today is that we start taking those baby steps and just continue this process of growth that God has for each of our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your hand upon our lives. We thank You for Your Word and the encouragement that it is to us, Lord. We thank You for lives like Paul, Lord, Saul, who became Paul, Lord, and just the realization, Lord, that nobody in the Bible is perfect. When we look at these people that we consider to be great men or women of God, when we dig down deep, we see that, man, they failed, they messed up, they sinned. They're just like us. And we thank You for their stories because they encourage us that we can grow and become the men and women of God that You've called us to be. Despite our failures, despite our past and our weaknesses, Lord, You can do the miraculous in each of our lives. And Lord, as we come to know You and experience Your righteousness in our life, Your desires, that we don't stop there, but that we just keep growing in You, Lord. That we keep seeking You, seeking to know You more. You are an amazing, infinite, never-ending God. We can never in all of our lifetime know all there is to know about You and Your kingdom, Lord. And so may we continue just to seek to grow in You, to allow You to mold and shape us and help us become who You've called us to be, Lord. Help us embrace the process, Lord. I know that it's difficult and the challenges that we face at times, but may we embrace this process of You helping us grow. Lord, we live in a fallen world and You use the brokenness of this world, the challenges that we face to help strengthen us to become who You've called us to be, Lord. And so may we embrace these things. May we learn to deal with the struggles and challenges in our life, Lord, to deal with the conflicts. And in the midst of it all, may we continue to lean on one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking to sharpen one another, to encourage one another, to help each other on this journey to follow You. We thank You for these things. May You allow Your words today just to penetrate our hearts, to meet us where we're at, Lord. Lord, I don't want to make light of things in our life, of people that have wronged us, Lord. I know it's real easy to say, I'll just get over it. I'm not saying that. Lord, there are some difficult hurts and pains that we've gone through in this life. And the only way that we'll ever be able to give those up is through your power in our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit in and through us. And so may we seek to grow in you and to grow in the power of your Spirit, that we can overcome these things and that we can walk in that grace and that love that you desire each of us to walk in. That same grace and love that you've poured out upon our lives. And Lord, sometimes it's even hard to understand that, Lord, how you could forgive us for the failures that we've made, the mistakes that we've made, Lord. But you do. And you love us, and you accept us for who we are. May we learn to walk in that same grace and love in our lives. We thank you for these things. Be with us as we go. Help us to let our light shine bright for you in all that we do, as we grow in you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.